The Saudis must be absolutely losing their marbles. Like the whole of yesterday, the whole of today. Well, today is the 23rd, I think, of November. They must have been completely, completely losing their minds. And I wouldn't blame them. I think they are responsible for the biggest upset in World Cup history, soccer World Cup history, having beaten Argentina, Messi's Argentina, 2-1. In one of the craziest games of football ever. I'm making this video because I was just reminded. The upset was insane. I was reminded of the upset by Japan beating the Springboks at one of the Rugby World Cups. And then obviously I was thinking of the betting houses. At some point, one of the betting houses, it might have been in the UK, I'm not sure. At some point, the odds after Messi scored the first goal, and it was 1-0. The odds for Saudi Arabia winning were 500-1. What that means is that if you'd put 100 Rand on Saudi Arabia winning at that point, you would have walked away with 50,000 Rand. If you'd put 1,000 Rand on Saudi Arabia winning, you would have won 5 million Rand. No, 500,000. Like, it's insane. Absolutely insane. And I can only imagine an upset like that for the betting houses had them licking their lips. Because what happens when crazy events like that occur, a lot of people start going to the betting houses and they now wait for the next insane upset. And even people that were not betting, even people that didn't care, are going to be going to the betting houses and putting tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of rands, of dollars, of yen, of euros onto certain teams. I know today Japan is playing Germany. And I can only imagine because of the upset with Saudi Arabia and Argentina, how many people are actually going to put money on Japan beating Germany to try and make money from there as well. Some of the betting houses before the game started had Saudi Arabia winning 80-1, which means if you put 100 Rand, you would have made 8,000 Rand. So, yeah, man. A couple of years ago, when I was messing around with Forex trading, you know, and my favorite was the USD to the Japanese yen. That was my favorite pair to trade. At the same time, I started sports betting with Bet Exchange Keith Ho in Johannesburg. I know there's a couple of other betting platforms that have popped up now. They make a lot of money. And for a lot of men, black men, it seems like betting has become like a daily job. If you go to the betting houses, especially in townships, especially close to taxi ranks, you find a lot of otaki chilling there the whole day, betting on horses, betting on soccer. If you go on some of these platforms online, you see all kinds of crazy sports around the world every single day. Cricket, badminton, rowing. What? You know, it's an entire crazy, crazy, crazy industry. And the way my mind works, because I'm curious, I try to deep dive on so many different things. Finding out how do they calculate the odds. You know, they have actuaries that work for them. Actuaries are the same people that do the data collection and manipulation and analysis for insurance companies. Creating probabilities. A probability is the chance that something will happen. And for those who are into like technical definitions, probability is 50% plus. So if I say it is probable that something will happen, it means there's a more than 50% chance that it will happen. The term possible is a 50-50 chance. So if I say it's possible that it might rain today, it's 50-50. If I say it's probable that it might rain, it means there's a more than 50% chance of rain. So these guys create these data models. And I worked with data models when I was still at APSA and even to some degree when I was at Standard Bank, two of the biggest banks in the country. You know, because I did statistical analytical software data mining. I used software and we were coding. And you pull all of this crazy data with the banks and you look at the chances of certain people not paying loans, certain people paying loans, on which day they'll probably pay, how much they'd probably be able to afford, etc. And after analyzing that data, there's people that do pricing models of how do we price best for this risk, you know, so that we make sure that we still meet a certain minimum return on this gamble. Because it's a gamble giving people money, whether it's for a home, whether it's for a car, whether it's a personal loan, whether it's a credit card. There is a risk that this person won't be able to pay back. And there are a lot of various fields that you look at. So I did the same with sports betting. I used to do the same with Forex trading. I actually had these Excel sheets where I was literally tracking data. You know, these are the perks of now going to school and understanding how to use Microsoft Excel. You know, obviously working in banking, and I did computer science and information systems at university, learning how to code, SAS coding. People use Java, people use Python, and so many drag and drops coding spaces today. You know, and you do some of this stuff because you think you're a fucking genius, and you're not just going to put 100 rand on a game and be like, ugh, fuck, let me see what happens. You actually like analyzing. I think I was playing the lottery a lot at that time as well. And there's people that live to like look at the probabilities of numbers coming up at the lottery. So I studied all of these platforms and I started betting on rugby because I had intel on rugby. There's something called insider trading. Insider trading is when you're getting privileged information that is not for public consumption. So if my father's the CEO of SAP, South African Breweries, there's a chance that there's certain information he has that the ordinary person doesn't have. So he might tell me, we're actually about to sell one of these alcohol brands. So because we're going to sell it, the price is going to go up because people are going to, the shareholders are going to want value for this brand. And if I trade on that information, that's called insider trading and it's a crime. My dad, who's the CEO of SAP, and all the execs and anyone else who is privy to that privileged information is not allowed to trade. He might know that in a week, the shares are going to tank, but he is not allowed to short those shares. It's a crime. And he can't tell me or anyone that please short those shares. But of course, we know human beings. People do this. If people had known what would happen to the market and the currency in South Africa when Jacob Zuma installed, is it Van Rooyen? It might be Van Rooyen as Minister of Finance. If anyone knew and shorted the South African rand, they would have woken up multiples of millionaires after that was changed. Kind of situation. So I studied some of that stuff. I did it with rugby, not because I had inside information, but because if you spend enough time studying a share, studying a company, studying a sports team, studying the weather, studying a certain race, a certain nationality and their behaviors, you start having like a soft feel, which is not so much technical information, but I guess what you'd call gut. You know, if Beyonce Knowles releases a video saying, oh, I'm in the studio, you can kind of guess she's going to release an album at some point. That means there's going to be certain venues that are going to be booked or going to be worth more because she's going to perform there. There's going to be certain music platforms that are going to make more money. There's probably going to be a hairstyle she's going to come up and make cool. I think Rihanna did that. Carrie Hilson did that. There's going to be certain clothing that's going to boost and go berserk. Kanye West is about to... You can kind of get an idea of the probability of something about to happen. So with rugby, New Zealand, obviously my favorite rugby team in the world, the Springboks. If you're friends with people that are chilling with Lukanyo Arm and they're like, hey, I don't know, Lukanyo hasn't been feeling well. It's like there's a chance that he's not going to play on Saturday. Because one of his friends who's close to us is like, yeah, Lukanyo is not feeling great. And he says he wasn't lacquer at practice. This is before it becomes public knowledge. And on that, you can start being like, you know, I don't think Lukanyo is going to have a great game. I don't think he's going to play at all. Yo, Ntwanu Messi says he's in top form. Dohotela says we are shit. It's like, I think Messi is going to score 2 goals on Saturday. So I'm going to put money on Messi. So I bet. A gent that I know who was a mate at the time made, I think, 100,000 rand on one rugby game. A random obscure rugby game. Because there's something that he knew that other people didn't know about the game, which is crazy. And this is where now match fixing, Hansi Kronier, the cricket guys, the pundits in India, that's where they come in. Because with cricket, it's so much easier to know if someone's going to bowl or no bowl. You can literally pay a guy and say, look, bowl wide. You can actually pay a guy to be like, listen, you need to go out in the fourth over. You need to either hit a run that is impossible so that they bowl you out. You need to maybe hit the ball up so that someone can catch you. And literally, they can make money there. Like, it's easier with cricket because it's technical like that. And it's an individual technical aspect. It's much tougher with other sporting codes. If you look at rugby, the guy is kicking for poles. You can kind of guess. Or you can tell him, listen, on your 10th kick, please miss. And the guy can miss and you make money. And you're like, I knew it. Or you tell someone, listen, I need you to commit a foul in the second half. One that's a yellow card offense. And you can make money just off that. So you start studying some of these things. I did rugby at the time. I eventually left it because I looked at the odds and the probabilities and I realized these actuaries are fucking smart. They know how to make money. Every now and then they lose money, but generally they make money. Because for the big teams, you don't make a lot of money when you put money on them. You might put 100 rand on the All Blacks and it's probably going to make you like 10 rand. The making 10 rand off a bet is not really that great. Versus on the other hand, if the All Blacks are paying... What's a small team? Namibia. The chances of Namibia beating the All Blacks are maybe like 900 to 1. So if you put 100 rand on Namibia and Namibia wins, you might make like 9,000 rand, which is insane. But that's now straight up gambling. I put 50 rand on Japan beating the Springboks back in the day. It was because I was doing something called hedging. Hedging is you bet with the betting house. I'm going to put 100 rand on an impossible win, and then I bet with a mate. Hey mate, I want to put 100 rand at this, and the mate is going to bet on the team to win. You're like, obviously. So I'm willing to lose this 100 rand because I might win 9,000 rand here, but I'm not going to win 9,000 rand. So I'm willing to, it's basically going to break even. So I hedged, I put 50 rand down. I think I came out with like 9,000 rand if I remember. Ridiculous, but it's like, once in a lifetime type of odds. And anyone who put money on Saudi Arabia yesterday, especially at the right time, made crazy money. But the betting houses, I want to make a lot of cash moving forward. So yeah, man, I don't know if I'm going to be betting. I know there's still maybe like 50 or 50 something games in the Soccer World Cup. For a lot of people, they're probably going to be going on the betting spaces. Don't go. I think we're smart enough. Don't go to the betting houses. There's long queues. It's stuffy. Yeah, sometimes there's like criminal elements there because they know people are carrying cash. Register with a betting house. And I'm not saying do this, by the way. Gambling is a no-no. People lose money. People don't know what they're doing. Rather put your money in something you can control. You can sell stuff. That's something you can control. You can offer a service. Cutting hair, washing a car. Put your money there. But for those people who love gambling, if you're going to gamble, go online. Find out which betting platforms are the best, especially in this country, are the most reliable. Go on there. Some of them give you like a signing up bonus, like 500 rand free money. You go and you sign up and then you can bet online. And the other thing is you don't just bet before a game. You can actually bet even during the game live. You know, like if Messi is about to take a penalty, literally they open like a betting platform to be like, do you think Messi is going to score? Yes or no? Do you think there's going to be a save, etc.? And people literally go berserk. At that time, there's going to be some other crazy odds in the World Cup. I don't know if there's going to be an upset this crazy, but there's probably going to be some upset where, like, maybe if you put 100 rand, you might make like 1,000 rand or you might make like 500 rand. So, for those people that like gambling, please do that. But please remember to gamble responsibly. Please remember to only bet money that you're willing to lose. There's people that lose their homes, there's people that lose their children's savings, and some people end up committing suicide. That's not the way to gamble. Gambled money to willing to lose. If maybe you are going to go out tonight to the movies, sacrifice that money and be like, okay, I won't go to the movies. If you lose something like 500 rand, sacrifice in other parts of your life. Okay, that means I'm no longer going out to eat a meal. Maybe I'm going to eat food at home. Maybe I'm not going to go on this trip I was supposed to go to on Saturday. Only gamble the money that you can afford to gamble. Shout out to Saudi Arabia. Like I said, they're probably parting a storm. Even if they lose the rest of their games, I'm sure their nation, everyone is fucking proud of them. Everyone is fucking happy. We don't know if there was match fixing from Argentina's side. You can only imagine that if Argentinian guys put money on themselves losing, they've gotten a big payday, but now at the expense of their World Cup campaign. And this might be the last time with Messi. I think it's his last World Cup that he has a chance to actually lift the World Cup. And apparently they were one of the favorites. I don't know how Portugal is going to fare with Cristiano Ronaldo, but I know France is one of the favorites. I think Spain is one of the favorites. I think the Netherlands might be as well. And I saw Belgium. But we're going to see how this World Cup unfolds. I think in the last World Cup, I don't know if it was in the last World Cup, Germany lost in the group stages, which was one. It was like the first time Germany was ever kicked out in the group stages. They normally are favorites in World Cups. The Netherlands generally doesn't disappoint. France is obviously coming off a high with their last win. Shout out to Kylian Mbappe and the boys. So it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. And yeah, maybe I'll go and bet a little bit of money there's like 50 games and I put 100 rand on each game, that's 5,000 rand. And you just need to be right like three times and you make like 10 grand and it was worth it. Shit, gambling is addictive. Gambling is bad. Don't gamble. Gambling is bad, kids. But yeah, shout out to Saudi Arabia and good luck to all the rest of the soccer teams coming up. Shout out to the African teams. Senegal, Cameroon, Ghana, Morocco and Tunisia. I hope the boys do well. And for the first time, all of the teams have got African coaches, which is another thing we're fucking celebrating. And I hope all the coaches do an amazing job. We don't have like foreign coaches from the West and from Europe. We've got African coaches that are coaching African teams. I hope they do well. I know Senegal lost 2-0. I hope they pick up from there. And I hope some of the other teams do amazingly well. I didn't really want to speak about the Soccer World Cup, but obviously an insane upset like Saudi Arabia had to be discussed. And if there's any other interesting things around the World Cup to discuss, like the $200 billion that Qatar spent on developing the country for that, then yeah, man, we can look into it. Pen you all the black pen. Cheers.